First Kings chapter 17. So I was reading here in my Bible down in North Carolina this week on Friday morning, and I was in First Kings chapter 17, and the Lord gave this to me for me, and then he said for me to give it to you. Will you receive it? For those of you that did not say yes, I am giving it to you anyway. Okay? If you want to put it in the pantry for later, that's fine. But food is always best served hot. So would you receive it now as the word of the Lord? 1 Kings 17, are you there? Yes. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to thy word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Let the church say amen. Our Father, I pray that you would add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. And fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. I pray that the message would help somebody. It helped me. I pray that it helps somebody. Do a great work in Jesus' name. And, oh, Lord, if somebody doesn't know Jesus as Savior, might today be that day that somebody accepts Christ. He gave his life for mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. At the end of 1 Kings chapter 17, we're introduced to the reign of King Ahab, a wicked man. Verse 31 says, if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal, worship him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not a compliment. God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, raised up by God. We're preaching through the book of Genesis on Wednesday night. We're watching as Abraham moves his way out of anonymity into covenant with God. God is going to produce of him a great nation. That nation is the nation of Israel, and God did produce it. God was their king, but God wasn't enough. Be careful when God's not enough. I said be careful when God's not enough. Now listen to me now. He is enough, but if you don't view him as enough, you go look for other stuff, for a place you'll never find it. And Israel couldn't find enough in God. They wanted a king like everybody else wanted the king. And so they asked God for it. And God said, you want it? I'll give it to you. Be careful what you ask God for. He might just give it to you. And he raised up Saul, and Saul failed. And he raised up David, and then David passed away. And then Solomon. And then after Solomon, here comes Rehoboam. And the kingdom is split. And part of the kingdom goes to the north and part of the kingdom to the south. And you got Israel meant to be united, and now they're divided. 10 tribes to the north, 2 tribes to the south. In the south, you had a series of kings that were good kings that did right, and a bunch of them that did wrong. But in the north, you had nothing but bad kings, one bad king after another, and then comes Ahab. All bad kings before him. He's the worst. Ain't nothing good about being the worst at anything. And if it wasn't bad enough that he was the worst, he married a wife that was worser. Say, Pastor, that's not a word. If I said more worse, you wouldn't like that. And if I just said worse, you wouldn't like that. So sometimes you got to use a wrong word to get your point across. I mean, Ahab was the worst and Jezebel was worster. Amen. Worster. Some of y'all thinking about that sauce you got in your pantry. Oh, yeah, Pastor, I use that Worcester sauce. That's not what I'm talking about. I know that's how you say it because you know you can't say it right. She was bad. She was real bad. She came from a family of Baal worship. And she brought that mess from her family to the people of God. This is not the message, but I'll say it. Bad relationships always lead to bad religion. I said bad relationships always lead to bad religion. You don't want to run with somebody that doesn't run with your God. You don't want to hook up with anybody that's not hooked up with Jesus. You don't want to marry somebody that doesn't love God like you love God. Oh, we don't have the same path, but it's okay. We do our own thing. No. Eventually you'll get influenced and go the wrong direction. Ahab was already bad. Now he marries Jezebel. She brings her nonsense into the marriage. He brings that nonsense into the people of God. Now they've set up an altar under Baal in a land where God is to be worshipped. They've known God. They've been shown God. God has demonstrated his power to them, and now the people of God are worshiping another God. You think God had a problem with that? You better believe he does. God has a problem when you worship anybody or anything besides him. And so, what is God to do? I got this king leading my people, and he's leading them astray. He's married to a woman. She's worse than he is. And together, they are leading our people further down than they've ever been before. What shall I do? What shall I do? How shall I confront this desperate situation in the people of God? What did he do? He got him a preacher. Now, around here, in the world in which we live, when we have situations that come up, we raise up committees, right? I mean, you got something needs to be dealt with, get your committee, get your leadership, and you know, delegate these responsibilities. You got a conference, you got a project, you got something coming up, get your committee and let them work on it. Nothing wrong with that, but I'm going to tell you, you search the Bible. When God had a problem, he didn't raise up committees, he raised up men, amen? And he raised up a man by the name of Elijah the Tishbite. Very little information is known about him other than where he came from. Normally, when a man steps on the scene, a prophet or somebody, we get his parentage, we find out his mom or his dad, particularly his dad, or his history or his background. But the Bible says, don't worry about where he came from. Worry about who he is. Tishbite from Gilead. And he stands in front of the king. You want to talk about nerve. The king's never seen this man never seen the king. But he tells him, God sent me. And he makes an announcement. As long as the Lord liveth, as the Lord God liveth, before whom I shall stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He announces a famine. You've done wrong. You failed God. And because of that, God's not sending any rain, and he's not going to send rain until I tell you. You talk about boldness. And by the way, we're living in a day and age where preachers have seemed to lose their boldness. I'm not talking about being ugly and being nasty. We got enough of them. Amen. God does not give us pulpits to browbeat people or to belittle them or to embarrass them or to insult them. But he certainly doesn't give us pulpits just to ease over the truth and act like a lie is not a lie. We need men of God who without apology will stand behind a sacred desk, not shouting forth their opinions, not saying what people want to hear, not tickling ears, not massaging backs, but people who without authority will give the word of God as God gives it to them. That's what he did. What an announcement. And here comes Elijah on the scene to begin his public ministry with an announcement to the most wicked king, it's now going to rain. And then right after that, God makes this statement. Get thee hence, turn the eastward and hide thyself. What do you mean? I'm just getting started. I just preached my first sermon. And some of you are going, I like that sermon. It was short. And right after he stepped on the scene, for the first time in Scripture, God says, get out of there. Get out of there. Now in chapter number 18, he's going to do something on Mount Carmel that no other prophet in Scripture ever did. He's going to call down fire from heaven. No man in the Bible ever called down fire from heaven than Elijah. He's going to be a man that's going to mark our Scriptures. I truly believe he's one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation that's going to appear in the tribulation period. Listen, he's going to go up in glory in a world when he doesn't even die a human death. God takes him up to glory. He's one of the two men in the Bible along with Enoch that never went the way of the earth by death. He's going to go out of here having lived a ministry like no other prophet in chapter 18. But wait a minute now. In chapter 17, God says to him, before any of that, buddy, go hide yourself. Get out the limelight. Get off the stage. Give up the spotlight. Forget about being who's who. Leave your image where it is and hide yourself. I want to deal with this subject this morning, and I think it's a critical one. What do you do when God puts you in hiding? What do you do when God puts you in hiding? When God tucks you away, when God puts you in a secret place. The psalmist said, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What do you do when God tucks you away from the mainstream? What do you do when God tucks you away from the fanfare? What do you do when God tucks you away from what makes sense? What do you do when God tucks you away where it seems like most of the situation is needed? What do you do when God puts you in hiding? Maybe some of you are there today. You don't like to hide. You don't like to be running for your life. You don't like to feel like danger lurks around you. You don't like to be in a place where you've never been before. You don't like to live in uncertainty. You don't like to be threatened with the unknown. You don't like when you're out of your comfort zone. You don't like when you're unfamiliar with your territory. But I'm telling you, there's a God that sometimes tucks us away under the shadow of his wings to let us know, I know you want to stand on Mount Carmel, but you ain't ready. And I'm going to hide you. What do you do when God puts you in hiding? The Lord said this to me the other day, and I want to give you four things that can happen in hiding. Number one, you can get meat from a devourer. Meat from a devourer. Go to the brook Cherith, Elijah, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Now watch this now. Go to a specific place. Why? Because when you get to a specific place, you are going to be fed by some strange participants. You're going to be fed by those strange participants because they are under the direction of my sovereign providence. I, watch this now, have commanded the ravens to feed thee. And watch this now, they're going to feed you with sufficient provision. Verse number 6, they brought bread and flesh in the morning, and they brought bread and flesh in the evening. And then, after all of that, I'm going to stop the process because you're in the midst of a family and it's not raining, the brook where I sent you is eventually going to dry up. Now, wait a minute now. Elijah must be thinking, okay, hide myself. Okay, where shall I go? Go to a brook? Well, that doesn't seem like a safe place to get water. There is no rain coming down. And then you're going to feed me. Oh, surely you're going to send me to a caterer. You're going to send me to a place where there's a bunch of food. You're you're going to put me next to a hunter who's got an ox or beef that he can feed. No, I'm going to feed you from ravens. A meat-eating scavenger. Now think about this. I'm going to have a bird that eats everything he sees. Matter of fact, if you study ravens, ravens don't even look out for their young. You remember when Noah wanted to know if it was dry on the ground? He sent the dove out. The dove came back. He sent the raven out. The raven didn't come back. You know why? The raven doesn't mind living in rough situations. He's a rough, rugged bird. A raven finds flesh, pounces on it, and devours it. Now look what God said. I'm going to take a bird that loves meat. I'm going to give it meat in its mouth. It's not going to eat it, and it's going to bring it to you. Now listen to me now. This is why God's trying to hide you. He wants to feed you meat from a devourer. Now some of you are going, Pastor, what do you mean a devourer? Isn't it amazing that when God hides you, he can take things that would normally destroy you and those things will distribute things to you? Some of you are going through a trial right now, and this is the first thing you're thinking, this trial's going to kill me. This trial's going to kill me. This trial's going to kill me. Can I tell you the very thing that you thought was going to kill you is the thing that's going to feed you? Can I tell you the doctors say cancer will kill you, but there are people that have gone through cancer that will tell you they got more from God in cancer than they ever did in health. Some of you've lost a loved one and the world says you lose a loved one. How can you go on? And I'm telling you, God will feed you in that loss sometimes more than he ever did in your gain. Some of you saying, Pastor, I don't want to hide. I want to be out in open where everything's fine. God said, no, you're going in hiding because I want you to learn how to get meat from a devourer. Number two, putting you in hiding. Because I want to learn how to give you meals from a down and outer. Now the brook dries up. Just when things are going well, seems like something bad happens. Do I have a witness in the house? Just when things are going well, doesn't it seem sometimes out of nowhere something bad happens? Now watch this now. I'm preaching to somebody in the building and here's your problem. The brook has dried up. Come on. The brook has dried up. Where you were getting your nourishment from has now gone away. And by the way, isn't it amazing that God didn't say that Elijah got a feast? God just said that Elijah got what he needed every morning and he got what he needed every evening. Aren't you glad no matter where you are, what you're going through, even when you feel like alone, you're alone, that God knows your address? I wish somebody helped me preach. God knows your address. Some of you are going through something right now that no matter how you try to explain it to people, they can't understand. They can't come where you are. They don't know how to identify with where you are, but I'm telling you, somebody who can, and that's Almighty God. God said, the world can't control the ravens, but I can, and I'll give them what you need every morning and every night. Something that was meant to devour you will feed you. Now, go to Zarephath. Really? Well, the brook's dry. What am I going to do now? You're going to go to the next place I send you. Hey, listen, whenever something runs out, put your ear towards heaven so God can tell you where you're going to get your next stuff from. Zarephath. Oh, this is an intense trip, some 60, 70 miles God has to make him go. And this intense trip is going to be in ironic territory, which belongeth to Zidon. Now, watch this now. Guess where Zarephath in Zidon was located? Where Jezebel was from. Now, wait a minute. God, you're gonna send me to a territory 60 or so miles away, and it is the homeland of the woman who wants to kill me the most. Now, be careful, because God will start sending you messages where to go, and the first thing you'll say is, I ain't going there, it's not safe. I'm not taking that job. I'm not writing that tithes and offerings check. I'm not going to worship God that way. I can't afford it. I'm not going to go there. They can't help me. I'm not going to ask them for help. They need it more than I do. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God hides you to get rid of your pride. It's okay. You don't have to shout during this message. If you shout too much, you might not think enough. Because somebody in the building has spent all week long complaining about hiding. I don't like it. It was better when I knew where my money was coming from. It was better when I knew that my health was intact. It was better when I knew that my friends had my back. It was better when things were going well. You don't know what's better. You're not God. Okay. Intense trip. I got to walk a long way to an ironic territory. And I'm going to give you an important test. Guess who's going to feed you? A widow. What? Widows were customarily broke. Some of you in here today say, they still broke. Some of you widows are going, please, don't put that past tense. The breadwinner had died. And these women were oppressed. You find widows in the Bible. The widow with the two mites. The widow in 2 Kings chapter 4. Who had only one pot of oil, and they were getting ready to take her sons. You listening to me now? And now God says, I'm going to feed you with a widow. She can hardly feed herself. But I'm taking you there for an important test. A test for you and a test for her. Look at the story. He got to the city, and there she was gathering sticks. Fetch me, verse number 10, I pray, the little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going, she's going to get the water. By the way, don't think that that's no small deal either. There would be no more rain. Here comes a man she doesn't know and says, get me water. Water was precious. To go get him water was a big deal. By the way, we need to be more thankful for how blessed we are in the United States of America. I mean, it's nothing to get a cup of water. It was in 1 Kings 17. Fetch me a cup of water. That's already a sacrifice. And while she's leaving, oh yeah, make me a cake too. Verse 12, I don't have a cake to make you. All I have is a little oil. All I have is a handful of meal. And I'm gathering these two sticks that I may get this meal together. We're going to eat and we're going to die. In other words, she's saying, all I got is enough for one more meal. My son and I, we're going to share it, and then we're going to sit around and die because there is no more source of food for us. And you're asking me to make something for you that I can't make for myself. And yet, my friend, she passed the test. She went from an important test to an incredible triumph. Now watch this now. There was an important feeding for Elijah. There was increased faith for herself, and there was insured favor. Look what God said. Because she obeyed God, she fixed him a cake. She made it for him. Every time she went back to that meal and every time she went back to that oil, God made sure that he put favor on her life and she was sustained. God, why are you hiding me? Because I want you to know that there are people in this world who are down and out. So down and out, they don't know how to help themselves. They're going to help you. Amen. Several weeks ago, I went up to the hospital out in Woodbridge to go see Ms. Reddick. That's Brother Cephas Reddick's mom, up in her 80s. And she'd been battling pneumonia, could hardly breathe. And I went to see her in there. And then I saw her a couple weeks later in the Burke Rehab. I went to encourage her. She needed encouragement. She could hardly breathe, pneumonia in her body. I walked in the building. I'm going to help her now because pastors go to the hospitals to help people. You know, I found out she's going to help me. Huh? She took that 80-some-year-old body trying to breathe and push herself a pain. She lit up when I walked in. She said, Pastor Kenny, how are you? I said, I'm glad to see you. I don't know if you remember me well. Oh, yes, I do. How's Miss Bethany? How's Pastor Mike? How's Miss Laura? How's Pastor Baldwin? How's Mr. Nett? And how's the Crossroads Baptist Church? I said, go on with your bad self. She said, I pray for you. I watch all online. You know what God said to me? God said to me, you better realize, son, it ain't always about you helping somebody. Sometimes I got somebody to help you. Come on now. Now listen to me. Listen to me now. We not only want God to help us, but we want to decide on who we want God to use to help us. So we got a money problem. We're looking for help from somebody rich. We got a sick problem. We're looking for help from somebody well. We got a Bible problem. We're looking for help from a theologian. We got a job problem. We're looking for help from somebody in HR. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes God can take a homeless man on the side of the street. Sometimes God can take a child who doesn't even supposed to know as much as you do. Sometimes God can take a singer who can't sing well. God can take somebody broke who doesn't have much. God can take a widow who's trying to scrap up just enough to eat to help. You stop deciding who's going to help you, and you let God help you how he wants to help you. You wouldn't have found her up on Carmel. Amen. See, some of you don't want to do nothing unless it's on the platform. Huh. If you got out the choir, would there be anything else you did around here? Maybe God need to take you off the limelight and hide you somewhere. Yeah, yeah. Maybe you're struggling with discouragement. Listen. Maybe you think God has abandoned you. You know what you're looking for? You're running out to the mailbox every day, just wondering. I just wonder if somebody sent me a check in the mail. You come to church just wondering if maybe they're gonna receive an offering on my behalf. You up at Safeway like my little daughters, just hoping you're gonna, daddy, mama gonna shop a lot for them groceries so they can get one of them Monopoly pieces and win a bunch of money. Daddy, can you switch, start shopping to Safeway now? Because we just need one more thing, and daddy, you're gonna be rich. And maybe you're trying to win something from Safeway. Maybe you're trying to get lucky by winning the lottery. Maybe you're looking for somebody around here that looks like they have a lot, and you're just going to drop a hint to somebody who looks like he has a lot, because maybe that hint will cause that somebody to catch that hint and be a, you're looking for a blessing in all the wrong places. Well, Pastor, where can I find it? Ask Brother Jeremy, can you go down to Southeast on a Saturday afternoon and go knock on some doors, and maybe them boys in the hood that are excited about serving God will give you a blessing. God doesn't always feed you from a caterer. God doesn't always feed you with a sous chef. God doesn't always provide for you from a millionaire. Sometimes he takes you next to somebody so broke he can't pay attention. But God is going to increase your faith, and he's going to build their faith at the same time. Why are you hiding me, God? Well, I'm trying to give you meat from a devourer. I'm trying to give you meals from a down and outer. Well, number three, I'm trying to use you for a miracle in the midst of disaster. Okay. We made it. We made it, Elijah. Thank you. Yeah, I made it too, ma'am. Thank you. Looked like we both made it. I needed you. You needed me. Ain't God the quintessential hooker-upper? Amen. Listen. Listen. You quit trying to hook up with people, and you just live for God. Let him hook you up. Same boy. Boy's got food. Thanks to his mama's faith. Doesn't that put pressure on you as a parent? That, listen, the nourishment of my children is based on my faith. That's right. Same boy. He got oil and got meal. But now he's sick. So sick, there's no life in him. He stops breathing. Elijah! What are you doing? Did you come here to let me watch my son die? Verse 18. What have I to do with the old thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Are you here to tell me I sinned a long time ago and now God is judging me for my sin in the death of my son? Why are you here? Could I tell you, my friend, difficult problems arise. Raise your hand right now if you're going through a difficult problem. Look all around the building. You're not the only one. There are people going, oh, no. Raise them again. Look around. Turn around. Look around. People going through difficult problems. You know why I want you to look around? Because you're going, oh, no. Brother so-and-so don't have no problems. Because every time he comes to church, he's smiling. Thank God he don't show everybody his problems like you show yours. Because there are people who are smiling that are going through difficult problems. And they just keep on smiling because they know that God is going to bring them through. Here comes this woman with a difficult problem. She shows up to the man of God with a desperate plea. He goes up to Almighty God with a direct prayer. And next thing you know, through this very diligent process, all of a sudden, God puts life back into this boy. Verse 21, Elijah stretches himself on the child 3 times, cries unto the Lord, oh Lord God, bring this child's soul to him again. And the Lord God heard his voice, 22, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Now watch this now. Here's a woman whose faith has grown because she obeyed God and gave up her last meal. Now God's taking care of her, but now the problem gets bigger. And by the way, as the problems get bigger, your faith needs to get bigger. And now here's the man of God who just so happened to be hiding when her boy died. Aren't you glad God knows just where you need to be, just at the right time? My boy is dead. Oh, Elijah takes that boy, calls on Almighty God, and God comes through. Some of you saying, Pastor, God's got me hidden in a place where I don't want to hide right now. Why? He wants to use you while he does a miracle. And maybe he has you in that hiding place to help you bring life to something that's died. There's a lot of stuff dying. I'm not just talking about people. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about hope. Come on. I got called at 6 a.m. this morning. I was on my knees. So who in the world's calling me? Somebody suicidal. At the end of his rope, I'm done. I have nothing else to do. I have no one else to turn to. I have nothing else to try. And then the phone dropped. I couldn't get him. And it just rang about 30 minutes ago. Wow. Why is God hiding you? Because there are some people you're going to run into in hiding that you won't spot out in the light. Somebody, listen, have a light laying around in this hospital. Maybe God's got you there, not just to get well, but to help somebody else that's sick. Could it be that the nurse that's taking care of you is sicker than you are? Oh, she looks pretty well to me. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Sometimes you got a cold, but somebody else has a virus that's way worse than a cold. It's the virus of sin. And if it's not dealt with the balm in Gilead, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you'll go out of that hospital, never see that nurse again. But if that nurse doesn't trust Jesus Christ, that nurse will wake up one day in a place called hell. You believe hell is real? Say amen. Maybe God's got you in the valley because somebody else is down there who needs to see that God is real. Maybe God got you broke so you'll trust God in front of somebody so they'll know God is real. Maybe God's got you in a trial that you'd never volunteer to be in because your husband or your kids or your church members need to know that God is real. One of the blessings as a pastor is that we get the privilege of watching some of the members at Crossroads Baptist Church go through the valley. They need our prayers, but the truth of the matter is they are an inspiration to us because they are reminding us that in death, God can bring about life. In sorrow, God can bring about joy. In pain, God can bring about happiness. In misery, God can bring about jubilation. He will turn our beauty into ashes. And for that sackcloth and ashes, he'll give us a garment of praise. Just ask them. Ask them just how God was good in hiding. Last, I'm finished. when God put you in hiding, number one, he wants to give you meat from a devourer. He wants to give you meals from a down and outer. He wants to show you a miracle in the midst of disaster. And he wants you to provide ministry for a doubter. The passage ends this way. I'm not going to walk back up there. King James, right? That's what we use around here, okay? On purpose. I'll tell you about it if you have some time. Verse 24. He brings the boy back to her. When he took him from her, the boy was dead. When he brought him back, the boy was alive. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been used by God in somebody's life to take something they handed to you dead and bring it back alive? Whew. Listen to the woman's words. Now by this I know. I know what you're thinking. Girl, you didn't know? Now watch this. If I'm Elijah, you ain't know? I've been here all this time. Do you remember me? You ain't had no meal. You had no oil. I showed up, told you to obey me. Now every day since then, you have meal and oil. And you still don't know that I'm a man of God. Be quiet with your criticizing her. You ain't at the level you act like you're at either. Me too. I mean, don't you think our faith needs to continuously grow? Amen. Listen. She believed that God was real. You know what she found out at the end of this chapter? Elijah was too.
Amen.
Ooh. Pressure. Now watch this now. How I live in hiding will convince people not only that God's real, but that I'm real too. Do you have any doubters in your life? You ain't gonna last. You up in there in that church trying to live for God. It's only a matter of time before you come back out here with the rest of us. You're not for real. Up there in that choir, up there living for God. Listen, you serve God with any doubters? And those doubters are going to be the same ones that come asking you for help. Now watch it. You pray at work and here they go. What you praying for? And all every time you got your desk, you got that Bible open, talking about Jesus this and Jesus that. Can't party, going to church, can't drink, you read your Bible, can't tell no jokes. You Mr. Holy. Well, we don't like you around us because we can't do what we like to do because you cramp our style. So stay over there and read your Bible so we can live like the devil and not be convicted. And then that doubter goes through a trial. And guess what? They don't ask their boys in the group to pray for them. They leave the group and come over to that cubicle with the Bible over there and say, do you have a minute? Are you busy? I hate to disturb you. I don't want to take much. They don't already sat down, pulled up a chair, took the jacket off, but they hate to disturb you. Could you pray for me? Could you tell your church to pray for me? Could you tell somebody that knows God to pray for me? Why you want me praying for you? Because I've been watching you. And I'm trying to figure out if you're real. Well, how you gonna know? How you handle this problem of mine. Here you go. My boy is dead. Fix it. Isn't it amazing how people go from cursing you to needing you? Some of you have family members that have mocked your faith from the moment you serve God. They laugh at you. They think you're in a cult. They think you are just overexcited about Jesus. You don't fell off the chart somewhere. You don't know what you go to church too much. You give too much money to church. You make your kids go to church. Church done took your life away. You ain't nothing like we used to know you were. Some of them can't stand how much you love Jesus, and they talk about you. Oh, here he come to the family reunion. Put them red cups away, because the next thing he gonna say is, don't be drinking that around here. But wait a minute now. They don't like what you're doing, but they following you. I've known people get mad with God, walk away from God, leave the church. I don't want to be around church. I don't want to be in the Bible. I don't want to come to church because you always preaching on my sin. They mad with me. Then I find out they tuning in to every service. I don't like your preacher. Well, why are you watching it then? Because they can't find Jesus out there. And out of nowhere, like today, they've been months, I get a call. My number hadn't changed in 15 years. So people have it. I get texts every once in a while. This still your number? Yeah, it's still my number. I've had them call me in the middle of the night. I'm having dreams. I want to drive my car into the middle of a tree, kill myself. Listen. I heard you do funerals. How, Ms. Baker? Ain't that what they do, they call? They heard y'all do funerals and don't charge nothing. They heard. We ain't coming to your church to hear you preach, but we'd be honored if you preach a funeral. Watch it. Look, they got the butter on the buns right now. Just buttering up the bread. Because don't nobody preach them like you do. They ain't going to come here on one Sunday. Do the funeral. What you do? Oh, no, I ain't doing your funeral. You don't come here. You don't pay tithes. Ain't? That's what some churches tell them. We check the dues. We didn't see your name on it. The last time I checked, this was God's church. Help me. I got something dead and I need it alive. I got a problem and I need help. I'm miserable. Why didn't you call your boys? They don't know what to do. They got the same problems I have. I came to see you, preacher man. You've been preaching that God stuff all these years. I want to know if you're real. Now watch this now. They don't learn I'm real from the sermon. They learn I'm real in the hospital room. In the mall. Yeah. Be careful that you don't put all your efforts into doing right in public. That you have no efforts left to keep doing right in private. You can sing your guts out on Sunday, but if you live like a fool on Facebook on Saturday, they will doubt that you're real. Don't get quiet. You're admitting your problems. And then make the pastor preach harder to try to convince people that God's real, because you have done so much outside of church to contradict it. Here, ma'am. Here's your boy back. And he's alive. Some of those parents have sent their kids to this church and have never come. Am I right? But they're noticing some things about these kids. You kids that came down here tonight with your bus captain, I would imagine a whole bunch of you, some of you go to church without your parents. Yeah. They don't want to come. Some of you may live in a house where you don't have both parents. But they're watching you. And when that church sends a child back home who left the house dead in sin and comes back home alive in Jesus, them parents going to say, now I know. Now I know that church down there for real, I reckon I'll go down there and visit. Well, hey, Elijah. That sermon was good. And there'll be plenty more where that came from. But for now, get out of there. Yes, sir. Where am I going? You're going in hiding. Hiding? I just got started. I got a bunch more sermons to preach to Ahab. Go hide, son. Why? Because while in hiding, I'm going to give you meat from a devourer. Here come them ravens. You really mean tell me that bird's going to keep that meat in his mouth and bring it to me? Sure enough. That's God. Brooks dried up. Okay, where I'm going? That broke widow. What's she going to do? She's going to give you a meal, even though she's a down and outer. Really? Her last meal. Yep. God's going to build your faith and build hers. Amen. Now what? Well, her son's dead. What's going to happen? A miracle and disaster. God's going to take that dead son and give it life. God is using you in hiding to bring life to that which has died. Why? Because you need to be a minister to the doubter. Somebody needs convincing that God is real, and they're going to be convinced from you while you're in hiding. By the way, I'm not going to preach this. 1 Kings 17, go hide thyself. After all that hiding, 1 Kings 18, go show thyself. And show and tell is coming. But for now, it's hide and seek. Hide and seek what God wants for you. Just maybe, God knows what he's doing. And perhaps the need for the people of God today is for God to put us in hiding. Father, help us. We don't like some things that we go through. And we'd change them if we could. But you know what you're doing better than we do. Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Would you raise your hand? I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know that. If you're saved, you should know it. If you don't be embarrassed. We're going to help you here with God's help. Let me put your hands down. Next question. How many say, Pastor, I know that I'm going to heaven, but I'll be honest with you now. God's put me in hiding. God has put me in hiding. And I don't understand it all, but God's showing me some things like he showed Elijah. I don't want to fight the process. Would you raise your hand all over the building? Come on. God's putting me in hiding. He's taking me through some things. God bless you all over the building. I'm going to ask you to respond to God at the altar in a few moments. To mind the Lord. Just a moment. Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless your honesty. God bless you. Someone else. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody else? Just be honest. God already knows. Just be honest. I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Would you raise it up just long enough for me to see it? Thank you, young lady. I see your hand. God bless you. Someone else? Just long enough for me to see it. Just slip it up. Put it back down. I won't call your name out. Just put your hand up. I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody else? Stand together all over the building, would you? Father, would you bless this invitation time like only you can? Move in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.